Tonight, all eyes are on Geneva as the world watches an extraordinary piece of political theatre. At a sprawling lakeside villa in Switzerland, US President Joe Biden and Russian President Vladimir Putin will meet in their first encounter since Mr. Biden took office. It's a carefully managed affair from both sides, but what can we expect? Dr. Alexey Muraviev is an expert on Russian strategic affairs and associate professor at Curtin University, and Dr. Emma Shortus is a US political expert from RMIT. Welcome to both of you.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Emma, beginning with you, last week President Biden said America's relationship with Russia had deteriorated to its lowest point in recent years. So why has he decided to meet with President Putin now? Is it about resetting that?
Look, I think it is about resetting the relationship with Russia, which has been very difficult, of course, and complicated under Donald Trump. But I think this idea about the relationship being at its lowest point in years is also about expectations management, because that kind of sets the summit up to be a conversation between two leaders and successful diplomatically. And in doing that, it will have kind of crossed the threshold that Biden has set for it. So I think this is about considered diplomacy.
Alexey, what is President Putin's priority heading into the summit?
Well, I think the principal priority is to actually start a dialogue and hope to actually build a regular dialogue between the leaders of the two nuclear superpowers. Despite personal assaults and despite the fact that the relationship has hit rock bottom, there is an understanding, at least in Moscow, of the compelling need to have a conversation, on so many levels, ranging from issues related to what is described as strategic stability, strategic arms control, the future of arms limitations treaties, to cooperation in space, to questions concerning cybersecurity, regional security. The list goes on and it's endless. But the principal problem, and that's certainly been outlined in Moscow time and time again, is the ongoing issue of mistrust. Mistrust, disinformation, not having confidence in one another. And obviously, that is against the backdrop of this ongoing unruly confrontation. So I think what the Russians actually expect to achieve in this meeting is perhaps not a breakthrough. They're not hoping for the breakthrough, rather than for some sort of establishment of rules how to carry on with this troubled relationship, but in a more systematic, more understandable way.
Emma, how much is the summit about appealing to domestic voters rather than the actual relationship between Russia and the US? Also, you know, messages to allies?
Look, I think that's very important. You know, managing the relationship itself is, of course, you know, critical to global stability. But I think what Biden is also doing as part of this larger trip is letting allies know, letting European allies know in particular, that kind of in his words, the United States is back and that the grown-ups are back in charge, that reasonable people are interested in kind of global stability in a way that Biden's predecessor was not. But I think Biden also has an eye, of course, on his domestic constituency, on letting them know that, again, the United States is respected on the world stage and is treating its allies well. And I think he'll also be considering those kind of hawks, Russia hawks, in the Democratic Party and on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, and managing those expectations as well. So like for Putin, you know, this is a very difficult line, I think, for Biden to walk.
The optics of the presidential summit are vastly different to Putin's previous encounter with an American president, and that's Donald Trump, Alexey. Why won't we see both leaders front the media together, for instance, like Trump and Putin did in Helsinki in 2018?
Look, I mean, it's a bit hard to judge. I don't think it was the Russian call to not to go ahead with the conference. I think Putin would feel very relaxed in front of cameras. At least the way how the Russians were trying to describe it is they assume it's for actually Joe Biden to avoid any uncomfortable questions in having Putin by his side, including question whether he still considers Putin to be a killer and any other questions along those lines. Perhaps also this is an indication that nine of the leaders expect any major achievements, any major outcomes from this meeting. So they effectively sort of setting the bar so low, and again trying to create as much of a comfort for themselves given this anxious buildup and everything that came with that. So I think it's a matter of making both of them feel very comfortable and ensuring that if they will able to smooth some of the really hard angles, it's not going to escalate during a press conference when both of them would be expecting really hard and sharp and pointy questions.
Emma, senior White House officials have told media they're not expecting a big set of deliverables, you know, things to announce out of the meeting. So what can we expect?
I think that is kind of what we can expect. I think Alexei's right that we won't see any really big announcements or huge breakthroughs. This is much more about, I suppose, beginning a new conversation and opening diplomatic channels with Russia that have been closed. You know, there are ambassadors have been removed from both countries. So we might see some small steps around there, some things like in principle agreements to in future perhaps discuss things like prisoner exchanges or cybersecurity. But I expect, just as Alexei just said, that there won't be, you know, big changes or big announcements. There won't be that big press conference, precisely because this is about considered and slower diplomacy as well, I think.
Emma, last month President Biden said he would work with Russia on combating climate change. Is that something you think we'll see progress on following the summit?
Look, for me, I think that's a really interesting one to watch because Joe Biden, of course, has proclaimed that the United States is coming back to global climate leadership. It's critical to his domestic and his global agenda. The Russian economy is heavily reliant on fossil fuels and Putin has been very reluctant, I think, to act on climate change. But Biden has recognized openly that, you know, in order to combat this global problem, he's going to have to work with countries like Russia and China, despite this clash between democracy and autocracy that he is setting up. So I think it remains to be seen whether any progress will be made. I'm very skeptical that any would come out of this particular meeting, but I think it's an important one for us to keep an eye on.
Alexei, just yesterday, President Putin renewed his offer of a prisoner swap. Would progress on this issue be likely to happen?
Well, I think the conversation will take place, but I would imagine it would be attached to other set of conditions. So I don't think they will discuss it as a separate matter. Rather than if they will try to seek a compromise, that would be in the context of discussing other matters, and perhaps the prisoner swap may be one of those trade-offs that the leaders would be prepared to settle on in order to achieve compromise on other matters, and it also very much depends on how the leaders would approach it. Certainly, Putin admitted of having two U.S. nationals right now in Russian prisons, but he also pointed out that there is a significant larger amount of Russian nationals that serve in different jail terms in Russia, in the United States. So whether it's going to be all for all exchange, if the exchange question will be debated, or perhaps it will get more selective, and then obviously the discussion and the compromise will be harder to achieve. But my feeling is, as I said earlier, I think it will be discussed in the context of broader, more strategic matters, and certainly prisoner swap will be one of those bargaining chips that would allow the two presidents to use as a tactical move in order to achieve some sort of an agreement.
Alexei, the White House says its aim is a stable and predictable relationship with Russia. Is that what Russia wants from Washington?
Look, I mean, if we believe the rhetoric coming from both the Kremlin and the White House, it's almost identical. But it's also coinciding with the rhetoric that we would like to have a pragmatic relationship, but it's the other side's fault. So it's the question of declaratory intentions versus really hardcore reality. In the absence of ambassadors in the country's respective capitals, in the absence of basic trust in the relationship between two permanent members of the United Nations Security Council, in the presence of multitude of problems where Russian interests and in U.S. interests collude on so many levels. You can obviously make declaratory intent and demonstrate to the rest of the world that you actually approach in this meeting on a positive note, and you are not the one who is the causation of the problem. But it would very much depend on the political wisdom and the will of both presidents to overcome, first of all, personal issues, and secondly, act in the best interests of their countries, and making sure that the best interests are not just observed on zero-sum game terms, but also a realization that having a dialogue and having a bit of an understanding between the two major powers, it's also in the best interest of both Moscow and Washington.
Emma, finally to you, does the U.S. see the potential for a more cooperative relationship with Russia in the future, or is that considered unlikely under President Putin?
I think that the United States will approach Putin with appropriate skepticism. You know, just as Alexei was just saying, I think we have to be careful in taking the rhetoric and the language that comes out of both places at face value. But look, overall, I think Biden is deeply invested in creating this stable, more predictable relationship, just as he has said. And certainly this opening meeting suggests that he's committing to improving relations with Russia, to reopening those diplomatic channels and to dealing with these very complex issues like prisoner swaps and cybersecurity that Alexei has outlining. So I certainly think that there is hope invested in that happening. But again, progress, if it does happen, will be very slow and kind of laden with complicated diplomatic speak. But generally, I think that there's hope that this will be kind of the opening reset, I suppose, for want of a better term, of a relationship that has been deeply troubled for a long time.
Thank you to both of you for your insights, and we await this meeting and any outcomes from it. Of course, it hasn't happened yet, but we've seen the images of everyone preparing for it to start. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.